141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic's title party has to wait again as they're held by Hibs in the capital. Rangers are doing all they can to keep it up with a convincing win at Hearts. And Stevie Clark lets rip at referee Stephen McLean after a high-tempered match at Rugby Park. Two men who always keep their temper here this afternoon, Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
The temperature is rising, and I'm not talking about the weather outside. Celtic are 9 points in front, but the fat lady has yet to sing. At a time when Kieran Tierney's season looks to be coming to an end, Friday's SFA hearing concerning Scott Brown now takes on extra importance for Celtic. He was the only outfield player who looked anything like himself against Hibs yesterday, and Neil Lennon must be earnestly hoping his captain can avoid a suspension at a time when he's needed more than ever. No Brown, no backbone, and Lennon needs his leader of men against Kilmarnock on Saturday, because an awful lot hinges on the outcome of the game that comes before the away days at Pittodrie and Ibrox.
Yeah, some big fixtures at the weekend. Gordon, early kickoff, Rangers, impressive. Steamrolled Hearts again, that's a clean sweep for them. Hamilton managed to nick a point in the derby. Aberdeen, of 10, what a game down there. You know, we'll speak about that later on in terms of some of the decisions. You look at the St Mirren result, the result of the day for me, really important 3 points. Dundee are gone for me, 8 in the bounce, defeat. And you look at Celtic yesterday, stuttering again. I'm sure we'll be speaking about that during the show as well.
There are big talking points all across the top division and beyond. So let us know what you think this Easter Monday, 0141 951 1025. And on Twitter, we are at Clyde SSB. So get your calls in nice and early. Big talking points across the weekend. Let's debate as many of them as possible. As the guys say, Stevie Clark, what a soundbite he gave. We'll hear from him a bit later on in the show. 3 red cards for Kilmarnock. We've got the situation at the bottom of the league, the bottom of the championship. Let's start at the top though, of our premiership. Neil Lennon's warning his players the holidays aren't here yet after dropping points at Hibs yesterday. He thinks they should have won the game, and he's also questioning the attitude of some of the squad.
Last week it was all, you know, there's a string of managers in for this job, and now this week I'm being touted elsewhere. So again, it's just noise.
It would help if you played the right clip of Neil Lennon. You always find that, don't you, Hugh Keevans? Before, well, I find it. What did you make of the game yesterday?
Poor from Celtic's point of view. Some incredibly inept performances. Step forward Olivier and Sham. Unbelievable. This guy is either the best midfield player in Scotland or the worst midfield player in Scotland, depending on how the mood takes him. I think that Celtic were a huge disappointment in front of goal. All credit to Hibs. 9 league games under Paul Heckingbottom. No defeats. But I do think that Scott Brown, of course, along with the rest of the outfield players, not at his best yesterday, but he was terrific in terms of breaking up the play. And I repeat, no Brown, no backbone. So Celtic need him to avoid suspension at the end of the week.
Well, to be fair, the goalkeeper made some world-class saves. So by all accounts, he got man of the match. So I think it says a lot about what we were doing. Well, second half, I didn't think first half we played well at all. So I'm unhappy about that. But second half was much more like us. Wanted more. We didn't start the game well. We were pedestrian. After 20 minutes, we looked a lot more like ourselves. But we were slack in the final third. A bit tippy-toppy for my liking. Throughout the course of the game, really. It's only the last 10, 15 minutes where we really looked like the game opened up anyway. You know, Hibs started to tire. And we started finding good gaps in that. But their decision-making at times was poor.
Was it quite a frustrating afternoon? I've got a few straight passes in.
Very. Very, you know, from quality players, all over the board. Decision making at times was very difficult to comprehend. I don't know if there's an anxiety there, but there shouldn't be. I mean, we certainly haven't passed it on to them if there is. But I just think we need to approach the start of games as well as we did last week, and we'll be all right. But we didn't today. We allowed Hibs to get a foothold in the game, and if we're going for the title, the holidays aren't here yet. Forget about the noise out there. Oh, you can win it here. You can win it. You got to win the games. That's what's angering me at the minute. Because we're up and down at the minute. Attitude of some of the players is not making me happy. But I've told them what I expect from here on in.
Alex, they probably should have won it. Neil Lennon's right in that respect. But again, they didn't. And you can see why there will be a bit of frustration creeping in. Because it's just not quite what most of the fans have been expecting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that Neil Lennon isn't the permanent boss is a frustration there, because he's tiptoeing round about the players. You can see that he would like to rip into them, and because he's just the interim boss, he's just trying to go along with the flow. He's trying to get these players, give them the benefit of the doubt. I agree with what you said yesterday in terms of, you know, the wasteful. You know, you're looking at guys that have got really good quality throughout their team. Brown and Sham giving the ball away unnecessarily. And then the normal guys who, for me, are the match winners, Forrest, McGregor, Hayes and Edward, on the day, you know, they just didn't quite collect that final ball. And he's like what he says, they're tippy-tappy at times, and you know, it allowed Hibs to get back in, and then they can may well have nicked it as well at the death Hibs.
Why is he nipping around the problem instead of just addressing it? Because at the end of the day, he's the interim manager. If he wants to be the permanent manager, he better get them sorted out.
Yeah, listen, I understand what you're saying, Hugh, but because he's, if he was a full-time gaffer, I think he'd be going through people in that, because he knows he's going to be there long term. And the fact is, he doesn't want to upset anyone. For me, he's not actually going through these guys the way he should be, because see the performances we've seen of late, exclude last week when we say he got the gold star in his favour getting to the final. But when you take the performances, would you expect more of a reactive Neil Lennon on the sideline, being more animated? I don't see that, Hugh.
Three of his last six games have ended in goalless draws. You know, it's so unlike Celtic. But I think if Neil wants the job, never mind tiptoeing around the problem, tell them exactly how you feel, because it's your position that's on the line after all.
Well, he says they need to approach and start games better as they look to secure the title. He does say there's a possibility Kieran Tierney might not feature again this season.
I'm not getting panicky, I'm not getting anxious about anything. We are dictating our own destiny here, and we have to dictate it a little bit better than what we're showing in the last two league games. That's it. We're not there yet. I believe eventually we will get there. Don't want to run before we can walk, but we've got to approach the games and start the games with a better tempo.
It's felt as if you've kind of chosen your words carefully, because maybe you're into a manager, but is it kind of gloves off now, is it?
Yeah, it was a case of that today, that's for sure. Kieran wasn't in the squad, but he said he spoke to him. Seeing a specialist on Thursday regarding his pelvic and groin area, so he's just in too much discomfort at the minute to play, and obviously Ryan's out for the season, so we'll have to go by what we're advised with the specialist.
You said last week that ideally you'd like shut down for the season. Would it be unlikely for us to see him play again?
It may be a possibility, I don't know. Well, again, we'll have to wait. That would not be ideal with what we've got in front of us, but it may be that's the case.
Do you want to continue to play? Are you prepared to play through that campaign?
Well, he has done for quite a while, and it's just got to the point where he's in too much pain. You know, he came off training very early on Thursday or Friday. So, like I said, we'll see what the consultant says and we'll take it from there.
Come on then, 01419511025. Celtic fans, any concerns about the way you're stuttering towards the title? Or is that not the case? Is it just about getting over the line and you're confident you will do so? Let us know on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Other big games to look back on as well, of course. The weekend started in the Premiership with Rangers at Tynecastle. Let's speak to Mark in Hamilton first. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Gordon. Here in panel.
Hello.
Hi. I don't know where to start, but the first thing I'm going to say to you is Neil Lennon's could never be a Celtic manager. I don't understand his team selection. Yesterday, I've heard you just saying there about that, my favourite pal in Sham. That is just, I can't believe, I can't even put into words what I think of that guy's a football player.
Well, the thing is,
where does he see in training? If you have a small week he picks and then he picks a team.
Well, yeah. I mean, Celtic certainly were better when Hsham went off and Tom Rogic came on. Hsham, for me, I don't know if you agree, Mark, but I've watched him play games where he looks a superb talent. Someone that Porto were allegedly willing to pay £9 or £10 million to get a year ago. I've watched him again in recent times and he is woeful. So how he started the match, I do not know. But it runs deeper than Olivi and Sham. You know, the goalless draws with Aberdeen, Livingston, Hibs. You know, Celtic at the moment are stuttering towards this title. And the Kilmarnock game for me is massive, because if anything were to go wrong on Saturday, this will turn into panic. And the Scott Brown SFA hearing is pivotal as well, because I do believe there's no replacement for Scott Brown, and if you take him out of the Celtic team, they'll struggle.
Well, many Celtic fans would tell you they played their best football when he wasn't in the team, but we'll save that debate for a bit later on perhaps. Alex, talk to us about Livy and Champ, yeah. Because there was a time last season when you felt he was the best midfield player in Scotland. He certainly doesn't look like it at the moment. So what's been happening?
I think he's lost his way a little bit, Gordon. You know, I think he's been in and out of the team. He's had injuries. I think his pal leaving Dembele in the summer towards the end of August didn't help the case either. But the Porto thing. But then Celtic tried to nip it in the bud by giving him a longer contract. For me, when he's on his game, he is one of the standout midfielders in this country. He scores goals, range of passing, athletic, you know, he's got that stature to be a top player, and he has all the ingredients. But listen, I take the caller's point on board. Yesterday, I couldn't believe what I was watching. You know, this is a guy who manipulates the ball brilliantly, and he's passing it out the park. But it wasn't just him. You've seen that kind of several players on the day, and because tonight the caller's come on and says in Sham, but there were several players giving the ball away, and I think that's the frustration with Neil Lennon. An interesting thing on that bit of audio that you said there. The gloves are off. So that would suggest that they weren't there before Hugh. So he's had enough now, and it's time to drag them over the line.
Mark, there is perhaps a school of thought out there. I suspect you don't agree with it, but some people might say that I'm talking about if Neil Lennon gets over the line, as long as he wins the league and he wins the Scottish Cup, that'll be enough. Have you made your mind up already? There's no change in your mind with regards to Neil Lennon?
Of course. I don't get it at all. I really don't. I don't see what he's going to bring to Celtic. He's taking Celtic back away since in St Brendan Rodgers left.
Mark, can I ask you a question?
I'm going to watch is absolutely dreadful watching them.
Mark, can I ask you a question in terms of, as a supporter, is it starting to concern you now because of the importance of the building job for next year? There obviously lots of players leaving, the loan players, the, you know, guys like Boyata will leave as well. And now you've got a position where you might see Lennon taking them to the end of the season, and then within 5 weeks you have to sign all these players, you have to get them up to speed, and then you have to contend with these qualifiers. So, you know, where are you at with this, Mark?
Oh, I don't give him the job, Alec. He doesn't get the job.
No, I take your point on board, but at what point do you actually say we're bringing a new gaffer in, you know, because...
Well, you couldn't possibly do it, though, before the Scottish Cup final or anything, could you?
Yeah, that's a hard one, Alec, to do that.
I wasn't suggesting you were leaving, but point is because of the position that you're now in as a club, you've got four or five weeks before, you know, that finishes. And what I'm trying to suggest here is there going to be enough time to do all this job for the new manager to get all these players in, get them up to speed, and then go into the qualifiers? It's a tricky position that Celtic find themselves at the moment.
All right, thank you to Mark in Hamilton, 01419511025. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. A club open to all says, is there any debate left for Neil Lennon to get the job? It's pretty clear he isn't the man for the job. 10 in a row is cancelled if Lenny is appointed, in my opinion. And Craig Logan says, Celtic have not won the league this year. Rangers have given it away. The best thing long term for Rangers would be Celtic to win the treble, as they will then give Lennon the job.
Plenty of people will say, well, he's undefeated since he replaced Brendan Rodgers.
And the two so-called big games he's had, a Scottish Cup semi-final and, Rangers, and an Old Firm game, he's won. Yeah. That's the case for
now,
him, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, Celtic as a club will show respect to Neil Lennon, former player of 20 years standing since he arrived here from Leicester. They will show respect to Neil Lennon, and he will get until the end of the season, and then Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell will make up their mind. I think Neil Lennon took the club on under the worst possible circumstances. And yes, all shout at once, they had an 8-point lead. Yes, I'm well aware of that. But Brendan Rodgers' departure was a thunderbolt for the Celtic supporters, and Neil Lennon took it on and remains undefeated. So he's fighting his corner. I think he has to fight it a little harder now, because never mind tiptoeing around players and their egos and what have you, you better get in about them now, because you've got Pataudry and Ibrox to come.
Okay, let's find out what Martin in Coatbridge makes of it. Hi, Martin.
Come on. Hello there.
Hello. What's on your mind tonight?
How you doing, panel? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Hi. No, just to talk about Celtic starting towards the title. We're not starting towards the title. We know the title's wrapped up. I mean, if we beat Kilmarnock, right, on Saturday, that's it. It's 9 points. You know what I mean? We're not going to... I mean, we only need one more point, really. We might not even need one more point, because I can't see Rangers winning all the games anyway. And the thing about this as well is Neil's not going to be the manager. I feel sorry for Neil Wright because I like Neil Lennon, and he's a great servant to the club. Right, but Celtic Football Club needs freshened up all the time. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about every 2 or 3 years. We need freshened up with a new manager. You know what I mean? Because of the way Scottish football is. Because the managers get bored. They get bored with the way the football is here. So every 2 or 3 years, we need to bring something new in anyway to freshen up and freshen the players up.
This is going to be the hardest summer that Peter Lawwell has ever known. And likewise, Dermot Desmond, because everyone looks to the principal shareholder who dictates so much of what goes on at Celtic. Players are, as Neil Lennon often says, not robots, they're human beings. And the human beings in this Celtic side are showing visible signs of wear and tear. They have been unbelievable for 3 years. They have won the treble, the double treble, going for a treble treble. But if ever a side needed money spent on it, this is the one. And they'll lose players as well back to their parent clubs in the summertime. A manager has to be decided upon, whether it's Neil Lennon or somebody else. And players have to come in, and Celtic have to spend money. So for me, it's the biggest summer Peter Lawwell and Dermot Desmond have known.
I don't think many would disagree with that, Alex. The counter argument would be, though, that Celtic got 82 points last season. They're in 78 at the moment. They're 12 points left to play for. They only need 4 to match last season's tally. So maybe they have gone backwards, but that's not really been reflected in the points total. So I'm not sure what you use to back that up.
You're right. Back it up, Gordon. I think what you say is, in terms of, if you look at last year, they were winning games comfortable. I said to Hugh a few weeks ago, because we were driving back in the car, and I said to Hugh, because Hugh often says this team's regressing, they look as if they're going back, they're tired, and it does look that way. And I think that's what we're actually saying about Neil's frustration, because they're not on the front foot. And I said to Hugh, going back in the car, but they'll finish with more points. And it's interesting because they always manage to go over the line. They have a mentality, and we speak at this regular on the show, that there's a mentality there for Celtic. They, I think, is it 4 goals in the last, say, 6 or 8 games or something, whatever it is, that they've scored in the dying 5 minutes or so. So they have that mentality to go over the line, but they're stuttering against teams like Dundee, Kamarnock and things, deflections, but they're getting there. But the points tally, you're absolutely right, they will supersede it.
Adrian's in Linwood. What did you make of it yesterday, Adrian?
Oh, I watched the game. It was... Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Hugh Keevans, he's an honest man. I listen to him all the time. I listen to everything he says. Right? But see, yesterday, to all the Celtic fans that have been at the game and watched the game, I'm a Celtic man myself. Now, see the Hibernian goalkeeper. 4 fantastic saves to stop that bogging in the net. Is that not what happens? Why does Neil Lennon have to get sacked because it was a 0-0 draw? See the second half of the game, Celtic were all airheads. The only person stopping them getting a goal was the goalkeeper. I would just like to put my point to this football.
To be fair, you're the one who mentioned the word sacked. No one on this programme has mentioned the word sacked. Celtic as a football club are entitled to take their time and to come to their own conclusion about who they want to be the manager on a permanent basis. Neil Lennon is still in that race. The problem that Celtic have at the moment is that the brand of football is being looked at by the supporters, and it's not to their satisfaction. And results like goalless draws with Aberdeen and Livingston and Hibs are not to the supporters' satisfaction. So there's a rumbling about some aspects of Celtic's play. But of course, they could still go on and get a treble-treble, and the cup final against Hearts could be a memorable day on the 25th of May. But people are entitled, and you're quite right to mention Marciano. He was superb, but people are entitled to look at the team, and some will come to an unfavourable conclusion about what they see. That's okay. That's allowed, surely.
So, Adrian, are you all for Neil Lennon then at this stage?
I'm for Neil Lennon all the way. Why change? Because Neil Lennon hasn't actually been given the job yet. So his frustration and his thing, because he can't go, right, you're out. But
well, he can.
On Sunday, the Hibernian goalkeeper played a blinder, done what he's paid to do and done everything else. Now, Celtic could only do try and get the ball in the net, but the keeper stopped him. It's like an old Andy. He was like an old Andy Gorham stopping Celtic for getting 10 in a row of a save here and a save. Who's that? It was absolutely brilliant.
All right, thank you, Adrian. In Linwood, 01419511025, we're going to hear from Stephen Gerrard. He says Alfredo Morelos faces a real challenge to get back into this Rangers team. What do you think? We'll do that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Duke Evans and Alex Ray are here looking back on the weekend's biggest talking points. Stephen tweeted in about Celtic saying Lennon is picking Hayes ahead of Sinclair and Weah, who are far more effective and score more goals. The goal count since Lennon took over has dropped dramatically, and it's down to his kick and rush, long balls and hit and hope crosses into the box. And Tony wants to see the youth team used. He says, does young Daniel Church deserve a crack at left back till the end of the season? Izzy is lost in that team. Let's look back on the big game at Tynecastle though on Saturday. So Rangers fans, Hearts fans, let's do it. 01419511025. Stephen Gerrard says they put in nearly the perfect performance on Saturday. He says on another day it could have been a few more goals, and is looking for them to keep up that run and try and make it three wins on the bounce.
The team performance was very strong. You know, a lot of positives to take away from Tynecastle. Really pleased. Nearly the perfect performance, really. We obviously wanted the clean sheet. We gave them a little bit of joy down our right side, their left side. Towards the end, they were getting too many crosses in for my liking, so you knew that they were going to get a chance. So a bit disappointed in that, but in the main, obviously very delighted with the performance. I think our play today was very entertaining. I think on another day we could have got 5-6 goals with that last little bit of quality at the end. But, you know, to come to a place like this is difficult. So to score 3 goals and win the game quite comfortable is a huge bonus for us. We can't control what happens across the road. I think we can only focus on our work. And, you know, we're on the back of 2 really strong performances. We made it 3 today. And, you know, a lot of fingers have come our way and a lot of criticism because we haven't been consistent enough. So the challenge from now till the end of the season is, can we find a level of consistency till the summer and see where we end up? But the focus is just on Rangers and our points that are available. There's 12 left and we want to give it our best efforts to try and take maximum points if we can.
Sorry, that was 3 in a row, wasn't it, at the weekend? And again, another impressive performance. Lots of criticism for Hearts, but Rangers taking advantage of it, Alex, and putting in another convincing one.
Yeah, and it all comes on the back of the different shape, Gordon. I think Defoe has given them another dimension. You know, you have Candias and Arfield supporting Jermaine Defoe up front. But it also allows the midfield to do that rotation as well. And the personnel, Jack, Arfield and Kamara fitted in ever so well. And then it allows the fullbacks to bomb forward. So I thought they absolutely demolished Hearts. I thought they were really poor on the day. But again, you have to give credit to Rangers for that.
I think it was so easy for Rangers that in the end, back half of the second half, the intensity level dropped because it was just too easy for them. They could have had more goals. Defoe looks natural and predatory, as he has always done throughout his career, but I still think that when Morelos is free of suspension, he'll come back in, and that Rangers will look to capitalise on him.
I mean, I know you say that, but for talking sake, say it was the next game then. So, so Morelos comes in, Defoe goes straight out of the team.
Rangers' next game is at home to Aberdeen, right? So
Morelos isn't back for that one,
no,
though. He's got one more. But the reason I'm doing it is just
hypothetically
for the timing. So if Morelos was available this weekend, you would have him back in and Defoe out the team.
For one simple reason, Gordon, you can't have ask a big fee of Morelos if he's not in your team.
No, you can, because I don't think a transfer fee will be settled on the remaining 3 games of the season, will it? Well, will it not be already made up?
I do not see Defoe being first pick when Morelos is free of suspension.
It's against Hibs. Only time will tell. I think that if Rangers get a result against Aberdeen on the I think is that the second time that'll be 4 wins in the bounce, Gordon, in the league. Is that right? You know, so it would be an impressive run for the Rangers standards because they haven't got to the 5 so far. If they beat Aberdeen at the weekend, I would suggest that they will go with the 4 into that other game against Hibs.
Well, let's hear what the manager made of it. Stephen Gerrard says Morelos does face a real challenge with the way Jermaine Defoe is performing. He says it's nice to finally have some options up front and has praised the quality of Jermaine Defoe.
At times we've been too reliant on Alfredo and we've missed our individual players when they've been missing. But credit to the players that are available or have been available for the last few games because they've won 3 out of 3 and I think in the main the majority of them deserve to keep the shirt. Jermaine's got unbelievable quality and I think if you play a system that suits Jermaine and helps him in certain things, he can get your goals, he gives you movement, you can see the defenders are really scared to get too close to him because of his quality. And he's contributing, whether it be assists or goals, and that's what all we can ask. So he's got the 9 shirt at the moment. It'd be interesting how he performs from now to the end of the season. It goes for anyone, not just in the number 9 position, but I don't pick on reputation and name. I think in the first 6 months of the season, Alfredo was in that good a form. It just made sense to bring him back, and there wasn't really anyone challenging him for that number 9. There's a challenge there now. You can see it. There's a player there playing with his confidence high, creating chances for us. He's scoring goals. That's the way Rangers should be. We should have options in that area, especially that area.
James is a Rangers fan from Priest Hill. Hi, James.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, James. All right, what do you make of the weekend then?
Well, I think we were a bit... First half, brilliant. I was happy with what I seen. It's just, we seem to be doing the same thing all season. But it seems to be, yes, it's taking nearly 45 minutes to start playing a game. But for this time, it just seemed in reverse. If he's not talking about... Like, it was taking like nearly half a game to get into the game. But now we're playing well for the first half, and then second half, seems to be stepping off the gas.
I mean, Alex, some would say that's not a problem, because if you've got the game won, you've got the game won. But just, it depends. Some people want to see that intensity from the off right till the end.
Yeah, well, listen, it's human nature as well, Gordon. Rangers had a period where they were on, I think it was 3 wins in the bounce, where they scored 14 goals, and they scored earlier on, and then they managed to get goals latterly in the second half. The caller, James, is kind of frustrated that they're not doing it for the full 90 minutes. But I said to Hugh off air the other night as well, there's ways to manage a game as well. You're 3-0 up, you're popping that about, you're dictating the play, and you just take the sting out of the game, and then you may well add more. But you know, the game's actually, you're just seeing out the game, and you're not exerting yourself, you know, because we don't forget as well, you're getting to the end of the season. But I think one of the things for Rangers over the course is that they haven't dictated for start to finish, and you know, the fans want to see that. I get that and understand that.
James, with all this talk about progress and points gaps and next season, what do you make of overall the way Rangers are finishing the season at the moment?
I'm quite happy with the season we've had. I'm happy with the way it's been going. It's just, there's been too many points dropped at home again, and it's just disappointing. But apart from that, I think it was a good season. I'm happy with my club's done, and I'm glad I support them.
I'd have to beg to differ with James. I don't think it is a good season if you end up with no trophies. I don't think it's a good season if you failed to reach either of the domestic cup finals. So I'd question a good season. If your chairman is speaking about being within tangible distance of dominating Scottish football, then for me, that means that a good season is a treble winning season then.
That would be a brilliant season, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I think, sorry, I was just about to say, James, I think people are actually enjoying certain elements of this season. There's most certainly a frustration with the Rangers fans that they haven't got to a cup final this year. You know, they want to challenge for silverware. I think most people on the show said that Rangers would finish second. I think that was the case. I take your point on board at home. They haven't been ruthless enough at certain times. I think, ten points less than Celtic at home. So you have to bridge that gap, Hugh, and you have to find ways of winning games when teams are putting blocks on. And that's where the inconsistencies came for Rangers. But they have to find that next season, because if they're going to make a challenge, they have to be more ruthless at home.
James, what are you thinking about Jermaine Defoe at the moment? Is he doing enough to keep that jersey?
Well, just I would keep Morelos. I'm a Morelos fan. I have been since he came to the club. His temperament is just, it's getting, we've already spoken about this before, his temperament is just out of control. So I'd keep him where he is just now, and just keep it for the rest of the season, maybe. Well, that's just my opinion again.
Yeah, well, we'll find out in the coming weeks. Thank you, James. In Priest Hill, of course, Matt Polster even came on, didn't he, for a debut at the weekend. So I wonder if we'll maybe see a bit more of him. Let's get the thoughts of Craig, who's a Rangers fan, on the line. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, panel. I think with that game in Sunday, the last few games since Morelos got the ban against Celtic, I think we've looked a more confident team. I think we've certainly looked good. I think certainly Defoe, in particular, I think has been excellent. You know, he asked for more game time. He got it through Morelos obviously getting that suspension, and he's absolutely taken advantage of it, and he's shown, I think, the kind of quality that he does possess. You know, I think we've been overly harsh on him in this country. He's had 16 appearances for Rangers. He's scored 7 goals. Now, that averages out a goal essentially every other game. Now, I'm not so sure that that's as bad a return is what people are making it out to be. Could remain defo. I accept there are times that he could have done more, but I just think he's looking better. And not just him, I think Stephen Davis has looked like he's starting to get up to speed as well over the last few weeks. It's probably unfortunate it's coming too late in the day to really do much about it, but it gives me a bit of confidence that if we can, you know, think they've got Defoe next season, and I think the plan is to keep, you know, to get Davis in a permanent as well. So it gives me confidence that these players are now starting to step up a bit, because now we can look to next season and not be so worried if Morelos goes and feel like these are players that can do the job. You know, Morelos gets suspended and it was, you know, Rangers are going to capitulate. Your backup striker's Jermaine Defoe. That can't be a bad thing, surely.
Before we get to next season, it's Rangers' job to inconvenience Celtic as much as they can between now and the end of this season. So, you know, next up, Aberdeen at Ibrox, then Easter Road, then Celtic. You know, so Defoe and Davis, you're quite right, are improving with every game. The goal return from Defoe is now respectable. So, as I say, it's Rangers' duty now to keep this going and to see just how troublesome they can be between now and the end of this season.
Yeah, we spoke about this at the weekend, Alex. It's almost as if, I think some people maybe, and you can disagree, saw Jermaine Defoe come in with all the fanfare, the debut against Kilmarnock. The result didn't go Rangers' way. All of a sudden, he's not really in the team, and Morelos is the main striker, and the assumption, without really thinking about it, is that he hasn't been a good signing. But sure, as Craig quite rightly points out, there is absolutely nothing wrong with the goal return.
Yeah, well, 7 goals in 16, but I would suggest that half of the appearances have been off the yep, bench. So when you look at that, it's actually more impressive than you actually think it is. And I think one of the things that Steven Gerrard spoke about at the weekend, we now come up with a system that actually supports Jermaine Defoe, and that then relies on Arfield and Candieso. Because he's so intelligent, he's always looking to peel off the shoulder, so the defence deepen, and then it allows players to make good and intelligent runs. And that's exactly what you're seeing with Arfield. Before the weekend, it was 4-2. Candies is delivering from there as well. So I think it's we are very quick, Gordon, to jump in and always go, oh, he's hopeless, he's gone, he's finished. And we make an assumption within 3 or 4 games, and it's not really the case, because you can see the quality that the guy brings. But, you know, I'll be interested. I think it'll be really interesting in the next couple of weeks to see if Morelos has, you know, because he's Steven Gerrard again. He says, I'm very much one for, if they're getting results and they've got the jersey, they keep it.
Craig, Hugh Keevan says Rangers are inconveniencing Celtic at the moment. How much longer do you think that can go on? Do you expect Celtic to have it wrapped up soon?
What I fully expect, because I feel like I haven't seen Celtic over these last, that's the third now and I'll draw, I think they had yesterday. And to be honest with you, I do think they've rode their luck. You know, they're unbeaten under Neil Lennon just now, but I don't think that's because they've been playing swashbuckling football. I think they've just got lucky at times with the last minute goals. I mean, yesterday Scott Bain pulled off a magnificent save to keep Hibs out. So I think what's probably going to happen is, I can honestly see it coming down to the Old Firm game at Ibrox. It would just be like Celtic, you know, to go and draw their games between now and then, and then turn up and put in a performance at Ibrox and win the title then.
At the risk of going on ad nauseum, Saturday is crucial for Celtic. They're at home, the 60,000 will be there. Kilmarnock may be depleted, they may not, given the appeal system, but Celtic have to win on Saturday to give their own supporters relief and belief.
Thank you to Craig, who is a Rangers fan on the line. We're going to take more of your calls after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here with me, Gordon Duncan. We hope you're enjoying the sunshine, because the air conditioning is broke in here, Hugh Keevans, and it is almost 28 degrees. I am fearing for your safety between now and 8 o'clock.
I would like to point out to the listening audience that I am the only person here wearing long trousers.
Alex and I thought we'd get away with that, because this is radio.
I've been back in primary school.
Golf, Hugh, the golf today, sensational.
Listen, 28 degrees in here, so I hope you're all enjoying the sunshine. You can at least take measures to cool yourselves down, but Hugh Keevans is going to be toiling by 8 o'clock, so give us your sympathy. Third Frame is on Twitter at Clyde SSB. face the facts, he says. At Lenny's unbeaten, extended the lead, got us to the final, on for the treble, two goals conceded, give the players a break, unbelievable injuries, manager walks away mid-season, 180 games in a historic 3 years, cut them some slack, he says.
But it was Neil Lennon who questioned the attitude of his players, not me, not Alec Ray, not Gordon Duncan, it was Neil Lennon who questioned the attitude of his own players after the game at Easter Road yesterday. So, phone him.
Do you know an interesting thing? The guy who's on Twitter there saying, you know, as if he's trying to allude that we are the guys that are actually having a go here.
Not necessarily. I think he could be talking to fans or phoning in and complaining.
That's what I was just about to highlight, because a couple of the callers earlier on were saying Neil's not the man.
Yeah.
Because of the performances. So we're really kind of
where he is, where he does perhaps hit on an important point as to where things are different, if you like, is that Celtic are not conceding. They don't really look like conceding either. They're very solid at the back. If there is an area for criticism, it's clearly up the other end, yes?
Yeah, Ayer and Simonovic have done very well. Again, they are forced together as a pairing because of injury to Boyata and Benkovic. And I do readily concede that Celtic's season has been characterised by injury problems. And here they are approaching the last four games of the season. Christie out with multiple facial fractures. Kieran Tierney looks like the end of his season. You know, so they have been troubled by this all season long, Celtic. But they're going to have to hang on until the end of the season.
Hugh, just quickly, just tell you're saying that they are troubled with injuries. Let's look at their bench. Tolian, Sinclair, Rogic, Ollie Burke, Tim Weir and Benkovic. You're probably looking at about 40 or 50 million quid there. So, you know, in terms of what they have at their disposal, there will be injuries, but they are better placed than most of the other teams.
Of course, I don't deny that. But over the course of the season, and I omit to mention Lee Griffiths, who had his own personal issues and hasn't played for months either. So, I'm not here to try and destroy what Celtic would do. I'm trying to understand the composition of the season.
We've got a bit more from Stephen Gerrard to hear from, but let's speak to James in Greenock first. Hi, James.
Hi, yeah. I was just listening earlier on there, and I'm kind of listening to the tweets that you were talking, and there was a Rangers fan saying that Celtic haven't won the title, the Rangers have kind of threw it away.
Yeah.
I think if I was a Rangers fan, I'd be worried about the next 2 years going towards 10 in a row, because I've been listening, and I'm the first one to admit Celtic have went backwards over the last 3 years, but yet they're one game away for a treble. You're looking at the summer, and I'm looking at Rangers' kind of recruitment so far. I'm looking at Jordan Jones, Jake Hastie's coming in, linked with Jordan Suter. I'm just going, is that the type of player that's going to stop Celtic for getting 10 in a row? You know, I'm looking at Celtic. I think Brendan Rodgers, obviously, I don't think anybody's happy that he left, but I think the one thing he'd done last summer was shine a light on the transfer policy at Celtic. And I genuinely think this summer Celtic will push a boat out and will look to sign better players, because I think Brendan Rodgers shone a light on it last year with the John McGinn situation. And I just looking, I'm going, sorry,
James, I was just about to say, it's interesting in terms of the perspective that Brendan wasn't back last year. I think it was along the lines of about 13 or 14 million pounds in both windows. 9 for Edward, 2 million pounds for the guy who went back to Ukraine, and then 2 million for Bale, give or take. Then you add guys like Ollie Burke, Benkovic. Now they have to pay a loan fee for these guys. Weir, good quality. So if you take three players signed to you for the best part of 13, 14 million, and then you have players of that quality, mm-hmm. for me that's backing. Because and James actually says it there, when you look at the personnel that all the other teams are signing, to suggest that Brendan Rodgers wasn't backed because of one player, John McGinn, is, you know, not for me, because he's clearly been backed.
No, definitely. I think obviously once the Christmas transfer window, the January transfer window, was backed. I just thought, I mean, you talk about 9 million Edward, but I think the kind of Stuart Armstrong deal kind of negated a lot of that 9 million. But I just think, as I say, I just think that if I was a Rangers fan, I would be worried, because if they were going to win the title, I genuinely thought it would be this year. I said that at Christmas. If they were going to win it, it would be this season.
I think to go back to the point about these Celtic players, the first season under Brendan Rodgers, the Invincibles season, they were superb. In the second season, they lost more points, but still got the double treble. In the third season, they started to lose a lot of points under Brendan Rodgers. And again, to be fair to Neil Lennon, he may have inherited an 8-point lead, but Celtic had dropped a lot of clumsy points under Brendan Rodgers, and you know, he took on that job.
Is this not where that argument struggles, based on what I said earlier about the points total? by the looks of it, Celtic will amass more points than they did last season.
They may very well do.
I mean, they only need another four. There's 12 to play for. They need four to equal last season's total.
We've got a bit of work to do, Gordon. I still believe we've got a bit of work to do. But the point I was going to make is that the Invincibles, the double treble winners, perhaps the treble treble winners, they're only human, and that side needs fresh blood. Mm. It really does need freshened up, because players are running on empty.
Thanks to James and Greenock. A quick question from Ryan McGuinness before we hear from Stephen Gerrard again. What are your thoughts on the idea of Celtic appointing Mark Hughes as the next manager? His current situation is similar to that of Brendan Rodgers prior to his appointment. Decent reputation at Premier League level, with perhaps something to prove. Not a name we've really discussed yet, I don't think.
I mean, it'll be open season on names once the season comes to an end. I have to assume that Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell already have a firm idea of what's going to happen. Alex made the point earlier that signings have to be made, players have to be bedded in and made ready for the qualification stages of the Champions League. I'm assuming Celtic win the title. But I have to believe that these two men, who have looked after Celtic very well for a long number of years, I have to believe they know precisely what's going to happen, and they know it now. It's just that they ain't telling.
Well, let's hear again from Stephen Gerrard. He's happy with his midfield trio of Arfield, Jack and Kamara. He says he's got a bit of everything in it at the moment. They're a great fit. He believes Matt Polster could surprise a few people after making his debut on Saturday.
He complements each other very well. There's a bit of everything in there. You know, you've got Davis's quality, range of passing, experience. You've got Kamara, who's an absolute steal for £50,000. Can't believe we got him. He's going to be an incredible footballer if he keeps learning and growing. And Jack's been my most consistent midfielder from the start of the season. I can't figure it out why he doesn't get more Scotland caps. I can't believe it. I can't understand it. The idea with Matt was obviously to get him in, get him settled in the city for a couple of months. You know, it's a big change for him. Get him used to the dressing room and get him used to Rangers, the pressure to Rangers. He's settled down really well. He's performed really strong in the reserve team. And then the idea was always to introduce him before the end of the season and then get a strong pre-season under him, and he'll be ready for next year. He's a good player. I think he might surprise a few.
Maybe he will, maybe he won't as well. I completely accept that, Alex. But we, maybe again in this country, maybe we are guilty, because Matt Polster comes in, you know, well, he's from America, maybe some people don't know a great deal, and then he doesn't come into the team straight away, so people might already write that off and think, well, no, I'm not sure what he's going to bring. But they clearly seem confident behind the scenes that that he could be one for the future.
They've obviously seen something, Gordon, because when you look at the personnel at the disposal for Stephen Gerrard in terms of numbers, he's just mentioned a couple there: Kamara, Davis, Jack, Arfield. You also have young Ross McCrory as well. You had Koulibaly. So you have a host of players there. So they must have seen something that they felt as if this boy might contribute something in the future. He's tied to Bederman at the weekend there for a few minutes or so. But over the course of the next three or four games, Stephen Gerrard needs to get wins, go into the summer on the front foot, and if it means putting this boy in occasionally, then do that if you have the luxury to do it, but only if they've got games won.
Yeah, it's getting warmer and warmer in here, incidentally.
He keeps just falling asleep, right? Okay.
Feels like the Botanic Gardens in here.
I think we'll do this then and try and wake him up.
The Pundit. With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need right now if you want to play tonight's Beat the Pundit. What a way to kick off the week. And I'll tell you, the Pundits had an absolute mare. 4 out of 5 nights last week, the victory went to the listener. 4 sign balls we gave away in 1 week. So let's see if we can pick up where we left off. 0141 951 1025. It could be you up against Hugh Keevans or Alex Ray for the chance to win a sign ball. Give us a call right now and be quick, because you only have until the news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. Give us a call or send us a tweet. We've been looking back on all the weekend's biggest talking points. We looked at Celtic's game at Easter Road yesterday. What does it mean for the title race? What does it mean for Neil Lennon and so on? We also looked back on Tynecastle on Saturday, hearing from Stephen Gerrard. Now, if you've not heard from Stevie Clark, stay right there. And if you have heard from him, it's worth hearing from him again. So we're going to bring you that as soon as we play this.
Beat the Pundit. With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Five beat the pundits last week, four victories for the listeners and only one. We even had our first zero from a pundit in many years. Well done, Andy Little. He's never going to live it down. But let's see if you two can do a bit better. Stephen is in Knightswood. He's up tonight. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Stephen.
Alec.
Enjoying the sunshine, Stephen. Was it a day off work? Give you a bit of time to study for tonight's Beat the Pundit?
Yeah, I've got today, man. I'm good to go now. I've got my paper beside me and everything.
Oof, listen, you'll need to read it pretty quickly to get through any clues for the questions. But let's see how we get on. Heads, you are up against Hugh Keevans. And tails, it will be Alex Ray.
Okay.
It's tails, Alex, up against Stephen from Knightswood. So Alex, I will give you some Clyde too and make sure you can't hear us. Yep, he's giving me the thumbs up. Great stuff.
No, I can still hear you.
Oh, you can still hear me.
Whoa.
You can still hear me. That's not good.
No, it's not all that carry no, on, Stephen, you know what I mean?
By the way, look how honest he is, Hugh Keevans. You see how honest that was. Yep, I think someone else would have just pretended that they were getting Clyde too in their ear.
You're going to start dancing.
And that was, I'm impressed with that. I'm impressed. Alex can still hear me, so that's not great. There we go, we'll just kick him out of the room. Something's up with the button. Out you get, that's fine. Right, you ready, Stephen?
Okay, let's go.
Great stuff. You've got 30 seconds and your time starts now. Who did Chelsea face tonight?
Only.
Scott Arfield represents which national team?
Canada.
Which Scottish player scored the winner for Crystal Palace against Arsenal at the weekend?
James McArthur.
Ziggy Gordon plays for which Scottish Premiership side?
Abunaki.
Who scored Rangers' third goal on Saturday?
Katic.
Who is the current kit maker of Partick Thistle?
Pass.
What club is nicknamed the Red Lichties?
Arbroath.
Okay. Hugh Keevans, give Alex Ray a wave. Tell him he can come back in. Here he comes. We're doing it old school. The button isn't working. Alex, are you ready?
Yes, go.
Right, same set of questions to you, shall we?
Yes.
Who did Chelsea face tonight?
Watford.
Scott Arfield represents which national team?
Canada.
Which Scottish player scored the winner for Crystal Palace against Arsenal at the weekend?
McArthur.
Ziggy Gordon plays for which
Hamilton.
Scottish Premiership side? Who scored Rangers' third goal on Saturday?
Pass.
Who is the current kit maker of Partick Thistle?
Puma.
What club is nicknamed the Red Lichties?
Pass. You should go give another question. You're coming in handy.
Can't
there.
Believe you passed all. Just guess a team. Who passes a question like that? What club is nicknamed the Red Lichties? You're just throwing one out there. Anyway, Stephen, what do you think? Yeah. Feeling confident?
I think I've done alright, aye.
Oh, yeah. You've battered me.
I think he has. I think going out the room's thrown Alex Ray. Let's find out. First one, who did Chelsea face tonight?
Burnley.
Stephen got it. 1-0 to Stephen. Scott Arfield represents Canada. You both got it. James McArthur scored for Crystal Palace. You both got it. Ziggy Gordon plays for Hamilton. You both got it. So it's still one up to Stephen. Still one up to Stephen. And then it went two up because Nikola Katic scored Rangers' third goal on Saturday.
Yes, I mean, so
we stood in here together and watched it, you know.
I know,
So Stephen goes two up. Who is the current kit maker of Partick Thistle? It's Joma. And what club is nicknamed the Red Lichties? It is Arbroath. Stephen got it. Alex Ray didn't. So it's a three for Alex.
Six.
And six for Stephen. It's an absolute hammering. Well done, Stephen. The signed ball is on its way.
Thanks, Alex.
Well done, mate.
Stephen and Knightswood. By the way, we're going to take out a bank loan for these signed balls. That is five out of the last six nights.
I have a theory. We are wintertime players. We need the dark nights, the floodlights
think so?
On. Yeah.
The heavy pitches, yes.
Yeah, we're not suited to this continental weather. I mean,
yeah, I mean, because all the talk of squad size at this time of season, maybe it has been a long season for you guys. Just yeah.
I mean, you heard in the news there, it's hotter in Scotland today than it is in Madrid, Rome, and Athens. I mean, what chance have you got? Yeah, but the boys from Deniston.
Anyway, 01419511025. Let's talk football, shall we? It was a weekend full of big talking points. If you're talking about Celtic or Rangers like we covered off in the first part, that's fine, you can still take more of those calls. But let's look at the other big talking point from the weekend. Stevie Clark, listen up to this. He insists that Stephen McLean, the referee, should never ref a Kilmarnock game again after he sent off three Kilmarnock players. Clark says it's the worst refereeing performance he's ever seen. Now, a bit of background, the referee is the son of former Kilmarnock defender Stuart McLean, and Clark's not happy with that side of things either.
I just went over and congratulated him and told him it was the worst refereeing performance I'd ever seen in my career. and it's a long career. He lost control of the game in the first half. You guys are watching it. He lost control. He actually lost control of a professional football match. And I mentioned when we played Hearts here earlier in the season, Hearts beat us 2-1. And I mentioned about the referee. It was Stephen that night as well. And he didn't control that game properly either. So the job of the referee is to control the game. He didn't control the game. He lost control of the game. And I feel a little bit sorry for him, you know, because I feel, and people tell me historically going back, he's never been particularly kind to Kilmarnock as a referee. And I think he feels the pressure of the fact that his father played so many games here. I really do. And if you're a referee and you feel that little extra pressure, it can affect your performance. So I've mentioned that a couple of times privately, publicly, I'm now going to say, I think it would be better for Stephen and better for Kilmarnock if Stephen doesn't referee any more games for us. Quite simple. There's loads of referees around that can cover. I think if there's some kind of family connection, it's a big family connection. You know, Shane McLean was top player here. I remember coming to watch, good right back. And he played over 400 games for the club. And I just feel that that's a big enough connection to say, maybe better. And better for Stephen. You know, we've had him as well where he's made some decisions for us. But by and large, since I've been here, when he's refereed us, I haven't been particularly sure about his performance.
He's overcompensating then probably for his family.
I don't know. But that's take that out of the equation. Yeah, let's take that out of the equation then. He doesn't have to worry about that as well as trying to get all the decisions right as well.
It wasn't an easy game to referee for anybody, but you would acknowledge that, you know, just right.
Yeah, but a good referee could handle it. Good referees can handle difficult games.
Scathing, Hugh Evans.
Well, when we were discussing this on Saturday, none of us had seen the incidents. I've had a look at them over the weekend, and I think that Stevie Clark has gone too far. I think that in the case of Cup Broadfoot, the first red card, I think is a perfectly justifiable red card given by Stephen McLean. Kilmarnock have no problem with Stuart Finlay and two yellow cards equaling a red. They have admitted no problem. And Rory McKenzie, perhaps an area of dubiety there, but is that enough to say that he was the worst referee you'd ever seen? I read a particularly well-researched piece today which detailed all of the games that Stephen McLean has handled against Kilmarnock, and it is not a record that suggests that he is in favour of the teams who play against Kilmarnock. It is the record of a man who has given his fair share of decisions to Kilmarnock and against Kilmarnock.
Well, Paul is a Kilmarnock fan from Mulgay. What do you make of it, Paul?
Well, I know some fans have actually chastised Steve Clark for his comments, but personally, I don't think he went far enough. Mm-hmm. If McLean is afraid of being seen to be impartial, and as a result of that, becomes completely biased in his decision-making in favour of one team, then he shouldn't referee not only a Kilmarnock game again, but he shouldn't referee any game.
If that's the case, Paul, though, that's quite a large if, surely you would agree.
Yeah, well, I've got a few points here. He probably wasn't helped in his decision-making by his assistant referee, Graeme Shinney, who was actually the instigator of getting Kurt Broadfoot sent off. Kurt Broadfoot had every right to go for that ball. The goalkeeper was brave, and he got connected with. But Kurt Broadfoot had no malice or no intent of hurting the keeper whatsoever and didn't go in forcibly. And just on some other situations here, Sam Cosgrove in the first half was flying in tackles, left, right and centre. And despite the fact of the yellow card, that player walked more tightropes in the first 45 minutes of that half than the entire cast of The Greatest Showman.
Well, you're right in the case of Sam Cosgrove. That is a mistake on Stephen McLean's part because he should have sent him off for a second bookable offence. Now, we'll have to agree to differ with regard to Kurt Broadfoot. I think Kurt Broadfoot did endanger Joe Lewis, the Aberdeen goalkeeper. And under the terms modern day referees respond to, I think it was right to send him off.
Paul, you want to come back in?
Yeah, I would just disagree. I think any professional player in the circumstance that Kurt Broadfoot was facing, where the ball was within reach of him, the goalkeeper was brave. That's why the goalkeeper got connected with him. The goalkeeper was brave. But Kurt Broadfoot's got every right to go for that ball, as any manager would expect his player to go for. And just picking up on the Cosgrove point of view, prior to Cosgrove being booked, he should have been booked prior to that for diving. There was a situation where he fell to the ground clutching his face after a challenge by Greg Taylor. And I just want to clarify for your listeners here, if Greg Taylor jumped off the top step of a ladder, he still wouldn't be able to reach Cosgrove's face. As talented as Greg Taylor is, he's about the height of Ronnie Corbett. I mean, it was utterly insane. Cosgrove rolling about the ground and holding his face.
Well, I've agreed. I have agreed that Cosgrove should have been sent off. Look, that's a mistake on Stephen McLean's part, but I do not think that in terms of Stuart Finlay, Kirk Broadfoot or Rory McKenzie, I do not think that
the McKenzie one's difficult, isn't it? I'm not sure the footage is good enough to make a proper
But those who were there, who witnessed the game, have a story to tell with regard to how much contact was made. However, if you take it all as a whole, is it enough for Steve Clark to say that's the worst refereeing performance I have ever seen? I don't think it is.
Hugh, see if you take the instances, the red card with Kirk Broadfoot, and we're listening to Paul there, who was, at the game. For me, when he lunges towards the goalkeeper, and the keeper is brave because he has to go down to gather the ball, when he lunges, he's actually out of control at that point. So I can see why he's given him a red card. I think he actually caught him in the face.
Well, it's anything really, but by the rules, it's anything that endangers the safety of an opponent.
Yeah.
And, you know, so whether you think Kirk Broadfoot meant to kick Joe Lewis or not, by the letter of the law, doesn't really matter. No. The question is, did he endanger his safety?
For me, by lunging, he's endangering it, Gordon, because he clearly caught him. The second one, the two yellow cards, and I like Big Finlay. I love the progress that he's made. He's broke into the Scotland squad as well. Good talent. And again, the McKenzie one, I'm not exactly sure there was too much to be done. And I'm not even sure, and this is reinforcing what Paul's saying, I don't even know if Stephen McLean actually saw that. But for me, Steve Clark has taken that too far.
With regard to Steve Clark's comments on Stephen McLean and why he should not be allowed to referee Kilmarnock games again, I don't think the SFA can ever bow to that kind of pressure. And before everyone shouts Willie Collum, I'm well aware that Willie Collum, after a Rangers game, was the victim of a statement released by Rangers in which they inferred that he had underlying issues with Rangers. Now, Steven Gerrard later distanced himself from the club's comments. He said that was not his belief. It's right to say that Willie Collum has not refereed a Rangers game since then. It is wrong to say he never will. I don't know when he'll referee a Rangers game, but I guarantee you he will, because the SFA cannot be seen to bow to the wishes of one club, whether that club is Rangers or Kilmarnock. Willie Collum will do a Rangers game in the future.
Mixed bag on Twitter here. Ben Kavanagh says, totally out of order, Stevie Clark bringing up his dad. He contradicts himself. I would expect a fine put Stuart McLean, who regularly goes to Rugby Park, in a position after those comments. But Scott McLean, unrelated I assume, says it wasn't just the red cards, it was McLean's inconsistency to all tackles. Aberdeen were getting away with murder. It was the worst performance from a referee I've seen since I started watching Kelly 30 years ago.
Hugh actually said that there in terms of Cosgrove. I totally agree with you. The tackle, I think it was in kind of the left back here there. He smashed, I think it was Stuart Finlay. For me, that's a yellow card and should have resulted in a red.
There's obviously a joke in there, Hugh, about the Scottish FA. Maybe they'll just kill two birds with one stone, and when they call him to see if he wants to be the next Scotland manager, they can tell him to come up for his disciplinary hearing as well. Whether both of those or one of those things happen, we'll find out.
You know, they'll deal with Steve Clark as they see fit in terms of his post-match comments. It will not influence anything with regard to Steve Clark being a contender for the Scotland job, because he's not being employed by the SFA Disciplinary Committee, he's been employed by the SFA. So if they can agree, or indeed if Steve Clark is even interested in being interviewed for the Scotland job, all of the stuff that he had to say at the weekend will be a complete irrelevance.
Gordy's opinion says, I'm no defender of refs, but the Kelly manager Clark is bang out of order. That's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. 01419511025 on the phones. Let's speak to John, who's in Wishaw. Hi, John.
Hi, it was just what you were saying there. You just spoke about it just as I phoned in. Has Willie Collum refereed a Rangers game? And if he hasn't, why no?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, he has not refereed a Rangers game since Rangers issued their statement. But I believe that the SFA cannot be seen to accede to the wishes of one particular club, whether it's Rangers, Kilmarnock or anybody else. And Willie Collum, who is one of, now, no matter what you think of him, he is one of the highest rated officials in this country and indeed in UEFA circles. And Willie Collum will at some point do a Rangers game.
Next year?
Next month? I don't know. But I can assure you that he will do a Rangers game.
He'll no do it this season, but...
Well, how do we know that?
Well, he would have done one by now, Hugh.
Well, there are four left, you know, including a Rangers-Celtic game, as it will be, at Ibrox. So it could happen before the end of the season. Now, I am telling you that Willie Collum will not go through the remainder of his refereeing career without ever going back to referee a Rangers match.
Back to Stephen McLean at the weekend. The rules on this are quite clear. You are actually allowed to say that you thought the referee was terrible or poor or got lots of decisions wrong. You can say all of these things, but it's when you start to infer bias or incompetence, uh-huh, that's when you're likely to get yourself in a bit of bother. So I'm not sure we've ever had one for reverse bias before, but I guess that would fall into the same category.
You know, trying to second guess the SFA on disciplinary matters is a dangerous business. But I do think that what he said was over the top. I do think that the referee had justifiable reasons for showing some of the cards that he did and made a mistake in the case of Sam Cosgrove. I'll underline it again. He made a mistake. Cosgrove should have walked as well. But, you know, this is the man's professional reputation that you are damaging. And I think Steve Clark went too far in that regard.
Hugh, the piece that you read this morning, I also read it as well, and it didn't suggest to me that it was a referee who was anti-biased or kind of, you know, against it. He was under pressure because he was actually, you know, giving other teams more cards and things than he was Kilmarnock, so it didn't quite suggest.
In fact, you'd even look into that sort of stuff as well. It probably shows where we're at with this stuff. It does get a bit tedious. Let's try and focus. I know it wasn't much of a football game, but there was one. Yes. And one which threw up a couple of things. A big boost for Aberdeen in the race to finish third, and also this strange run of form where Kilmarnock are brilliant against everyone else, but Aberdeen still have their number.
Well, that was, it's going back to what, 2010 or something. It's been a long, long time. The record that they have is a remarkable. And we said, we were talking about this on Saturday, Hugh, where you have a particular team that just seems to have the number, the mark of that opposition, and Kilmarnock seem to be that team. They don't get a result at all against Aberdeen.
It goes on. You know, Aberdeen have won more away games than any team in the Premiership this season. More than Celtic, more than Rangers. And the one place where they tend to excel is against Rangers. Now they're back at Ibrox on Sunday, and if they excel against Rangers again, it could win Celtic the league, assuming they've done their business properly against Kilmarnock. So these things do happen. They're statistical curios.
01419511025 on the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. If there are more calls on Celtic and Rangers, absolutely fine. I'm keen to hear from you St Mirren fans as well, because that was one of the biggest 3 points you've picked up, surely, this season. I mean, could that be the turning point? Is that you feeling more confident about staying up, or still a bit of fear in the back of your mind? 01419511025. We'll hear from more on Kearney, and we'll get a full-time teaser. Good question tonight. That's coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's that time of the night when Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray answer the questions sent in by you and try, that's the key word,
yes,
show off their footballing trivia knowledge. Let's see how we get on. Dylan sent tonight questions in, so thank you to Dylan. fulltime@clyde1.com. That's where you need to send them if you want to get your question on the show. fulltime@clyde1.com. Hard but doable. That's how I would consider tonight. So you ready?
Yes.
Name the last 10 players to leave a non-Old Firm Scottish club and move out of Scotland for at least £1 million. So name the last 10 players to leave a non-Old Firm Scottish club and move out of Scotland for at least £1 million.
Stephen Fletcher.
Yes, Hibs to Burnley, well done.
O'Connor.
No.
Wow.
Remember, you can play along on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get your answers in and we'll see how many you get. We're looking for the last 10 players to leave a non-Old Firm Scottish club,
John McGinn,
and move out of Scotland for at least £1 million. John McGinn, yes. Hibs to Aston Villa. Stephen Fletcher, Hibs to Burnley, John McGinn, Hibs to Villa, Ryan Gold, Dundee United to Sporting Lisbon. I'll take one more guess, Hugh Keevans.
Get back to you on that.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. We're going to hear from Oran Kearney. Huge, huge weekend at the bottom. So give us your thoughts if you're involved in that scrap. Let's do John in Edinburgh first though. Hi John.
Hi guys, thanks for letting me come on your show. I've been listening all night. It's good, good stuff.
Thank you John.
Well, I've got to put my cards on the table. I'm a Celtic supporter, and I'd just like to champion Neil Lennon. Since he's came in, his first two games were against Hibs and Hearts. Hibs in the Cup, won that, beat Hearts, beat Rangers then, beat Aberdeen, and that's sort of like the big four big hard games. You know, I speak to a lot of my friends with regards to what we're chatting about just now. There's nobody else I would want to trust with the job of looking after Celtic, more so than Neil Lennon. He's obviously played for the club, he feels for the club. Just like, you know, anybody else that's been with one of the big clubs that plays for them and then manages them, if they're capable of doing the job, and he's proven that in the past, being a good manager with Celtic, but he got handed the reins under difficult, you know, situation when, you know, Brendan Rodgers left. And, I mean, we were fortunate that he came in and been able to pick up the reins at that time. So I'm delighted with Neil Lennon going forward. I know that some of the players are not his players and he's just trying to nurse them through the season. I've written down a pile of names similar to the guy earlier on with regards, and I know Alex talked about injuries and what have you, but you've had got Lee, we're missing Lee Griffiths, the young boy Christie, Tierney's been out for quite a while, Boyata's been injured, and Charms just came back from injury. I know he didn't play so well the other day, but Alex, obviously you've been a professional in that, and coming back, try to come back from injuries and that. You know, it's not always the case. Yeah. It's very difficult. So I know that, and I'm hoping that Celtic give Neil Lennon the job, because then, you know, he will be the man and everybody will probably have more respect. He's trying to nurse made them round about just now and just trying to get his job done. And I know, Hugh, you said earlier on, Neil Lennon needs to start cracking, going, you know, getting really angry and that. He is angry, but, you know, I think he's just tempering it down a wee bit as opposed to what he used to be like. It's a difficult situation.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't contradict the word you said, John. However, it is undeniable that Neil Lennon has polarised the Celtic support. For every supporter like you who wants Neil Lennon to be recognised as someone who's come in at a problematic time and that kept the ship afloat, there's another Celtic supporter who says, I don't like his football, I don't understand his team selection, etc, etc. My down the middle feeling is that a club as big as Celtic, the next managerial appointment is huge, because that man is charged with the responsibility of winning 9 in a row and then 10 in a row, because it is the holy grail for Celtic supporters. So it is a huge appointment for the club to make, and that is why they're not rushing in. You know, Manchester United, I think, suffered from 21st century pressure. Give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the job now. Give him it now. Since they gave him the job, results have gone haywire. So Celtic are waiting until the end of the season when they will assess and move on from there. I do think, and it's a purely a personal belief, I do think Peter Lawwell and Dermot Desmond know what's going to happen, but that's not the way they do their business. They're not going to share that with me or anybody else, but they know, I think.
John's initial point, Alex, talking about the, you know, the games Neil Lennon has won, and yep, perhaps that is something that should be looked at more, because rather than focusing on the couple of 0-0 draws, what about the win against Rangers, yep, the cup semi-final win, the so-called big games? It's not like he's come in and, you know, lost big, yeah, games. In fact, he's not lost any games, never mind big ones.
Yeah, I think he came into Celtic at the time where they were on the back of winning a lot of games as well, Gordon. But again, it goes back to they weren't winning it particularly convincingly. if you're happy with a manager who's winning games but not in a particular style, I think Celtic fans have actually been spoiled, because it's all about winning games. You know, you look at Brendan Rodgers, we go back to that first season, 106 points. You know, it was a remarkable level that they were actually hitting. Last year was 82 points. It'll be in and around about that this year, so that's more of a normal season. So, you know, it may well be a case that, you know, the caller's right, that John's right in saying, listen, it's just about getting results, it's about continuing to win titles, and I'm happy with Neil Lennon. And I can understand what John's take is on it. We obviously see the guys and hear the guys on Twitter, on the show, who say, listen, the brand of football, it's, we heard the guy earlier on saying they're just punting balls in the ball. It's not the style that they've actually been ingrained to over the last couple of years. So, you know, I understand both sides of the argument, but for me, Celtic really, they're going to be in a difficult position one way or another. If they give it to Neil Lennon, there'll be continuity there. And if they go and try and source another one in 4 or 5 weeks' time when the season's finished at the end of May, then what they have is a very short period of time to recruit players, bed them in, and then get into the qualifiers.
141 951 1025. Thank you to John in Edinburgh. Have you got any on the teaser we're looking for?
Andrew Robertson.
According to Dylan, we're looking for the last 10 players to leave a non-Old Firm Scottish club and move out of Scotland for at least $1 million. Dylan says Stephen Fletcher is one, Ryan Gold is one, John McGinn is one,
Andrew Robertson.
Andy Robertson, a fairly easy one.
I've got a couple here that might be Duncan Ferguson.
No.
Did he not leave for
too
millions?
Far back. We're only looking for the last 10.
Oh, the last. Oh, sorry. Okay, Ian Jess.
Too far back.
I'm going back because I've got Kevin Gallagher and the likes.
But I'll give you a clue. Back. You're looking because it's the last 10. These are probably. Let me skim through them. You're probably looking all within the last 8-9 years.
Okay.
Craig Gordon.
No, he's just out with that as well. He was 2007.
What a shout that is.
I think it was 2007. So you're just out with that.
Oh, I need to have a rethink again. I thought I had about 4 or 5 there.
Let's look at the picture at the bottom of the league, Hugh. We promised it was going to be a big weekend at top and bottom, and it did not disappoint. Oren Kearney says he's glad his substitutes had the impact he wanted as they came from behind to beat 10-man Livingston. St Mirren now sits 6 points ahead of Dundee, and the manager's glad their fate is in their own hands.
You know, anyone who sees football and sees that you're down to 10 men, and I think the magnitude of where we're at and what we need, I think it was a necessity. I thought about doing it after half an hour, to be honest with you, and then you fight yourself a little bit, just because sometimes when you do it without instruction, it ends up ramshackle for 10 or 15 minutes. So rather than break, I suppose, the mould from that, we chose to wait to half time so we could get a few instructions about how exactly and what exactly it would look like.
All the subs made an impact, McGuinness and McAllister as well.
That's their jobs, and we said, and it was the first thing I said after when I got in there, that, you know, it's great, number one, that we've a lot of injuries back and we've a strong bench, and it's good to look round at a bench and see that we've got game changers. And number two, it's their job to stay focused and ready, that when they do come on, that they have an impact. And I thought all three subs who come on today had had a huge impact on the game, and as I say, it's exactly what's needed.
This now takes your destiny back into your own hands. That must encourage you.
Yeah, and that's all we want, you know. And there's a lot made about, and we keep getting quick questioned about the other teams and how they're getting on and everything else, but we have to be so selfish at this point in view and just worry about ourselves. And there's no point me standing here now having been beat today talking about how other sides done or whatever else. So the key thing for us is that we just keep looking after ourselves and keep trying to churn out the 3 points.
Assess the overall picture at the bottom.
First of all, Oren Kearney, a man who's held his composure. You know, he came here into Scottish football from a part-time club in Ireland, and, you know, got off to a sensational start by drawing with Celtic, but thereafter things would go awry, but he's kept his composure. St Mirren play St Johnstone at the weekend in Paisley. Very difficult game for them. However, it is a home match and the support will be terrific for them. But the big picture, I think, comes penultimate game against Hamilton Accies, because I believe Dundee have gone 8 defeats in the bounds. There's not a shred of self-belief there. They've gone. And it's all about the Accies and St Mirren. So that game in Paisley, the penultimate game, I think is winner takes all.
Alex Ray, do you agree? Are Dundee, are they done?
Nightmares, they are gone. 8 games on the bounce, as you said there. They have, they're conceding too many goals, Gordon. They don't have,
well, 6 points behind St Mirren at the moment.
Yes, too much for me. Listen, it's kills me to say that, because I had a couple of good years up there as a manager, and unfortunately they haven't done it. They've tried to bring Jimmy Mack in, it's not quite worked. But listen, you just need that one win and maybe try and galvanise them. But for me, they look as if they've gone at the moment.
And then the Leakeys pick up the point, don't they?
Yes.
So, but St Mirren get the 3. So Hugh's right, that's now all shaping up as a great battle between them. And then, listen, it could still change. It's only 6 points Dundee are behind. So there could be a swing this weekend, but either way, we're in for a fantastic run in at the bottom.
You wouldn't know.
Not if you're involved in it right enough.
No, you wouldn't know where Dundee would get a point from between now and the end of the season. So I discount them. This is all about the Accies and St Mirren. Now, St Mirren St Johnston is a very tough fixture. You saw what St Johnston did to Dundee at the weekend. But I like Oran Kearney and the way he goes about his business. That could be a huge one for them on Saturday.
Look, I just want to give you a stat here. Out of the last eight games, St Mirren have won three, drawn three, and lost two.
That's survival form,
three,
isn't
sorry.
It?
So it's 3-3-3, and
so
you're
nine
yourself,
games in last night.
Then you compare that to Dundee, who have actually not got a tap. You know, they've had eight defeats in the bounce. So it's head to head between Hamilton and St Mirren for that last playoff spot, I think.
John is a St Mirren fan. Just how important was that at the weekend, John?
Oh, that was absolutely critical, you know, especially after going a goal down. It showed the spirit we've got in this team now. I mean, against Hamilton, we went a goal down, and, you know, maybe 6 months ago, they had a collapse, but they fought back to get a credible draw there, and they could have won that game. But Livingston, they went one better, and they beat them quite comfortably towards the end, although it was against 10 men. But what my point was this time, and Oran Kearney's coming on, and this is Oran Kearney's idea. It's a system they use in the Northern Ireland League, the NIFL. It's regarding European places. And the moment I'm looking at the bottom six, and I'm seeing St Johnston, Motherwell and Livingston, they've only 5 points between these three teams. And apart from money, and money is important, obviously, apart from getting extra money, they've no incentive, they've no motivation to win the games they're playing against the three at the bottom. So the three at the bottom have got an advantage in that they'll be hungrier, they'll be more desperate to win these games, more motivation. And most importantly, we'll bring a big support home and away for the last four cup finals we've got in this league. Whereas St Johnston, Motherwell will probably bring a big support, but maybe not as big as normal, because they'll look on it as a kind of meaningless game just finishing off the season. So what Oran Kearney's idea was, and what works in Northern Ireland with their split, is the team that finishes top, looking at it just now, St Johnston are sitting top of the bottom six, so they have a playoff with. Now, how many teams, I'm not sure here, how many teams qualify for Europe in the Scottish League?
Well, it depends on what happens with the Scottish Cup, but you know, it'd be three depend, and then if Celtic win the Scottish Cup, that would go to the fourth team as well. Yeah,
which is currently Kilmarnock. Yeah.
So the top four, right? So forget about Celtic Rangers. I think Oran's idea is right. Celtic and Rangers, they're going to Europe automatically, and Aberdeen, the three top teams. Mm-hmm. Kilmarnock would probably be against this idea if it happened right now, if there were a change now about getting into qualifying for Europe. But if they started something like that next season or whenever.
So what is the idea, John? Sorry. So what do you want to see happen?
Kilmarnock, Hibs and Hearts would play off against, say it was St Johnstone, in a semi-final, one-off games, and a final, and the team that wins that would qualify for Europe. Then you're going to have bigger crowds, make more money of these extra games as well, and an incentive for likes of your St Johnstone.
Mm-hmm. And the Motherwell, I certainly see the logic, Hugh. I just got a feeling, knowing you as I do, that you're not going to go for it.
No. I mean, we've got the split.
Makes a good case, so does he not?
Yep, but we've got we've got the split, and I am a great supporter of the split. Marvellous, brings excitement. However, we don't need another subdivision, another competition within a competition. You know, St Johnston played Dundee at the weekend and did their job properly. Motherwell were in front against Hamilton Accies until a very bad pass back caused them to lose an equalising goal. Livingston against John's team, St Mirren, did not show the appropriate attitude, and I'm sure Gary Holt was upset by the result and performance. But I just feel we already have the split. We don't need another subplot. We've got one already.
01419511025 on the phones. What about this teaser? Have you got any more?
Yes.
Any more answers for me?
Yes, I've got two here. Osman Sow.
That is an outstanding shout. I didn't think you would get that one right. Osman Sow, when he went to China from Hearts.
I'm going to throw another one in. Tony Andrew.
Oh, pfft, he's showing off now, Tony Andrew. You've got a couple of the harder ones. So that's Andrew, McGinn, So, Gold, Robertson and Stephen Fletcher. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and that means it's the business end of the show for Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. They've got a full time teaser. We've got it up and running. Dylan sent tonight's question in. If you've any problem with the question, you just blame Dylan. I'll give you his phone number, but it should be all good. Full time at Clyde One. That's where you send them in, and we use them on the show. We're looking for tonight the last 10 players to leave non-Old Firm clubs and move out of Scotland for at least £1 million. So guys like Stephen Fletcher, Hibs, yes, to Burnley, Andy Robertson, Ryan Gold, John McGinn, Tony Andrew and Osman So. They were great guesses. Have you got any more?
Jason Cummings from Hibs to Nottingham Forest.
Well done, Hugh Keevans. Jason Cummings.
How much did the boy MacArthur go to Wigan for?
MacArthur is not on the list.
McCarthy.
McCarthy.
McCarthy, however,
yes,
is on the list.
This is where we're a good team, Shug.
Two to get. I would guess one, maybe. Can't see you getting another one. That's just my personal feeling on the matter. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the championship, Hugh. It's really like I keep saying it, and I don't say it for dramatic effect. More people out with our country should know what's happening at the bottom of our championship because it's as exciting as you'll get. Three games left to play. Partick Thistle boss Gary Caldwell still insisting the league table is irrelevant. They're now 2 points off the bottom after coming back to beat Alloa. Caldwell was delighted with their response.
Disappointing first half, some choice words at half time, change of shape, two substitutions. I'd love to take credit for it, but players win football games. And the players' first half chose not to step forward and be brave. The players' second half, I just said to them, showed incredible bravery. And I think the only team in this league that could give Alloa a goal start and the way they were playing defensive and still have the bravery, the composure, the quality to break them down, because it wasn't easy. I said it was going to be difficult at 0-0. It was very difficult at 1-0, and they managed to do it. Delighted with the response, delighted with the result, but it's just 3 points. It's three games to go, and we have to focus on them starting on Tuesday night.
Folk at bottom now, what do you think you need to stay out of trouble?
The league table's irrelevant.
Well, it's good to be off the bottom, right?
Irrelevant.
It's no though, isn't it?
No. It is because of points. The league table will I'm sure the league table probably changed 3 or 4 times during the game today. Because the points are so close, we've got 9 points to play for. It is irrelevant just now. Trust me when I say that. So I'm not always right, but I know I'm right.
I just hope the day never dawns when somebody goes up to Gary Caldwell and says, "Have you seen the league table? You've just been relegated." So
he says it'll matter then.
But what matters first and foremost is that they go to A United midweek. They're a game in hand. And the A United side, who have had a splendid season but are perhaps now tailing off, and Thistle have a chance of going on to 40 points along with Morton. That could go a long way towards helping them survive. Falkirk, to me, looked to be the one in trouble. Alloa suffered a defeat at Partick on Saturday after going a goal up. They have still to fight tooth and nail for their survival. So it's incredible stuff.
It's relevant for us. So Falkirk are now bottom,
yeah,
on 35 points. They're 2 points behind Partick Thistle, who are in the relegation playoff spot. However, Falkirk have to play Dundee United away and Ross County. Are they gone, Alex?
I think it'll be extremely difficult, Gordon.
So that's Dundee and Falkirk. Any more of your former clubs that we can add to the mix?
Listen, it kills me because they're a really good club, well run club. Even a couple of years ago, they were vying at the top of the league to try and get up.
Well, they got to the playoff final against Kilmarnock, didn't they?
Absolutely. And when you look where they are now, they cut their academy, you know, and financed the first team trying to have a go. And it seems to have backfired on them badly. And I think it'll be a bridge too far, Gordon. Tough games. I've got Ross County and who did you say? Inverness? No, that's a bridge too far for me.
I mean, Hugh, that it just shows you in football there are so many reminders of how things can change quickly. Just a couple of seasons ago, Kilmarnock were right down there in the relegation playoff. Falkirk were trying to come up. It went Kilmarnock's way. And look at the impact that's had. Kilmarnock are now flying high. You're talking about Europe. Have they got a manager who might become the Scotland manager? And Falkirk have to slash their academy. They're trying to find money from everywhere. And a club of that size, it's a lovely stadium. Anyone who's been, you're looking at League One football.
Yeah. But you know, football can sometimes be cruel. and football does not pay any attention to past reputation, to the state of your ground. It's only interested in one thing, a league table. And as the great cliche goes, the league table never lies. Falkirk and Partick Thistle are clubs who do not, I was going to use the word, do not deserve to go down to the third tier of Scottish football. But you get what you deserve. It would be sad if Falkirk and or Partick Thistle went down to the third tier of Scottish football, but they have to work to find their own destiny.
The other story, Hugh, that is going to keep us bubbling away for the next couple of weeks, I obviously didn't dedicate a huge portion of the show to it because we've been round the houses a bit in recent days. There's no real developments, but are we going to get a new Scotland manager anytime soon?
The SFA have a meeting on Thursday. Of course it has to be top of the agenda. We do need, I think, clarity on this matter. Whether it's an interim boss, which is not complete clarity, but at least it's a step forward from where we are, we need clarity in this matter. We play Cyprus on the 8th of June, and then a few days later we play the number one ranked national football team in the world, Roberto Martinez's Belgium. So we need to find out within days, I think. People have to be encouraged to go and see Scotland again. And the tickets are on sale. It's a Saturday night game. It's going to be a hard sell because the team is unsuccessful and in the eyes of the supporters, unattractive. So the very least you can do is get the manager out there, get him known and see what he can do to turn a corner with this Scotland team.
I was actually just looking at the dates there. It's just over 6 weeks going to our next fixture. They begin, as you say, the 8th of June. So they really have to either put an interim, whether that be Malcolm Mackay or Scott Gemmell.
Or both.
Or both, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or one of them with, you know, someone, as you mentioned, Fletcher or something like that. But you wouldn't want to begin into the A games. You have to give them time to prepare. You have to get them to go out and watch players in their current form as well. So they need to get their acting gear.
Anything emerged over the weekend, Hugh? Any names that you've come across or anything that's made you change your mind or have a different opinion on where we go?
My gut instinct tells me they'll go to Malky Mackay and they'll ask him to...
On an interim basis?
Yes, on an interim basis. Because the man that they may want could have a club job at the moment. Negotiations would need to take place.
Do you think it is likely they go for someone who requires a compensation fee though?
They don't have money for compensation fees. So, you know, that would be a problem. However, the one way to, you know, Alec and his backroom staff have got to be paid up financially. And then you've got to go and get yourself a credible manager. That's the first and only criterion for me, Gordon. You've got to get a credible appointment here because we're floating around in the wilderness. If Malky Mackay and or Scott Gemmell take it for the next two games, I would understand that. But Rod Petrie, the president-elect, Alan McRae, the sitting president, and Ian Maxwell, the chief executive of the SFA, have really got to come to the fore now because they are under pressure. They are accused of being unfit for practice.
Now, every night on the show, in the second hour, you send a question in to us. We set the question up and we give the pundits until the end of the show to see if they can come up with the answers. So, if you like the sound of it, fulltime@clyde1.com is where you need to send your questions in. That is exactly what Dylan did tonight, and the question is this: can you name the last 10 players to leave a non-Old Firm Scottish club and move out of Scotland for at least £1 million? So guys like James McCarthy, Stephen Fletcher, Jason Cummings, Andy Robertson, Ryan Gold, Osman So, John McGinn and Tony Andrew, which means you're only looking for another two.
I've got two names.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Zoluskis at Hearts?
Nope.
Christoph Berra?
No.
Oh, I thought he went to Wolves for a couple of million.
He's not on this list.
Wow.
Take it up with Dylan.
Yes, okay.
One is Scottish, one is not. One is a striker, one is a central defender. Is it at that stage where I'm going to have to give you the clubs they left?
Oh yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Before Easter becomes Christmas.
The easy one. Moved to England from Dundee United. I don't like that silence, I must admit.
McGowan? No.
Striker?
Striker.
It's the boy, is it Clyde now? Good Willie.
David Goodwillie, well done. And the last one, this was the one I predicted that you would not get. Left Motherwell for
Cypre.
Cedric Cypre, well done. He's pulled out of the bag. Hugh Keevans sneaks in with a last minute winner. Is that the sign of champions, or is that a sign of a pundit who's struggling? That's the question we always ask on this show.
It's a sign of somebody who thinks, why didn't I think of that earlier?
Well done. Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. Big thanks for all the calls and tweets this Easter Monday. I know you've probably been off enjoying yourselves, so we do appreciate you tuning in. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock with Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel. In the meantime, just stay where you are, because Callum Gallagher is up next.